Special thanks to Indiana Wesleyan University College of Adult and Professional Studies for underwriting this week's program. Finish your degree and start your dream with Indiana Wesleyan University's College of Adult and Professional Studies, with education centers in Dayton and Cincinnati.
Welcome to Water Through the Word, radio for women. Because every woman has a story. Join Erin Campbell and her guest today as they share how their faith has restored hope in their lives. Real women with real stories about courage and freedom in Christ Jesus. Discover God's extravagant love for you as you rest in His presence and are washed with water through the Word. Now, here's Erin with her special guest and today's word of encouragement for you.
Hi, this is Erin, and welcome to Water Through the Word. My guest today is Cheryl Touchton. Cheryl is a popular guest speaker, mentor, teacher, and author of two books. Her story begins today in the waiting room of an intensive care unit when the Spirit of God spoke directly to her heart and changed her life and her identity forever. Soon after this experience, Cheryl loses her top executive job and is plummeted directly into the most radical life change, full-time mission work. Where was her mission field? Living on the streets of America to share the love of Christ to whoever will listen. Today, Cheryl will take us through these dramatic events and share with us the five steps to loving God. We will also learn how to respond to others who criticize our faith. Cheryl recently joined me on the phone, and this is her story. Good morning, Cheryl, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You are an author, a conference speaker, a mom, and a woman who is very, very devoted to what God has called you to do. In fact, you have written several books, and I have two of them in front of me. One is called Pocketful of Quarters. The other is Pocketful of Christmas. Your life story is in the pages of these two books. I find them such interesting titles. Tell us a little bit about what does it mean to have a pocketful of quarters?
Well, a pocketful of quarters is a metaphor for being spiritually prepared in life. I give out quarters as I travel and talking to people about God, and I tell them this is a metaphor for God's free grace. You're getting this free, and if you have a pocketful, you're spiritually prepared.
And it actually roots back to a very tragic event in your life, actually. It was a difficult time of trial, wasn't
it? Yes,
it
was. The year that it dated back to was a particularly difficult one for my family because we lost three family members that year. And it involved long stays in the ICU waiting room. And if you've ever spent time in the ICU waiting room, you know that people develop a look. They're exhausted, their shoulders sag, they have dark circles under their eyes from lack of sleep, and they're waiting on life and death information from their family members, and they're praying for the best, fearing the worst. And, you know, they sit in their corners in these waiting rooms, you know, huddled up with their family members, holding their breath every time the doors open. And this was our third time, so we were tired, feeling a little beat up as a family. And I had been a Christian since I was just a little girl. I grew up in a Christian family and accepted Christ, invited Him to be a part of my life when I was eight. But I had grown up with kind of an intellectual understanding of my faith and don't know that I had ever developed that close personal walk with Christ that just prepared me to face anything I needed to face. And so I went into that year spiritually very unprepared for what was going on, and so I was just literally operating on spiritual fumes. And one of the things we all needed in that ICU waiting room was quarters. You know, this was before cell phones. And we needed quarters for the phone booth to call and give other family members news. We were hungry there in the middle of the night with the restaurants in the hospital closed and needed food in the vending machines. And so we all needed quarters. And people would walk around saying, "Do you have any quarters?" And some people would share and some people wouldn't because they wanted to save them. And at that time, vending machines did not make change. And so my pastor, who felt very bad for the year that I had had, came to the hospital and said, "You know, what do you need?" And I said, "Well, actually, it seems like everyone here needs quarters." And so he brought me a roll of quarters, and I don't know what made me just open these quarters and share them, but instead of putting them in my pocket, I opened them up and put them on the coffee table there in the ICU waiting room and put a pile, and I said, anyone that needs them, use them, and when you have extras, put more in. Well, suddenly, we all had a pocket full of quarters. We never ran out. We had more quarters than I started with, and people would get quarters. And, you know, we still had all these other needs, but our need for quarters had just completely gone away. And because of those quarters, we all started talking to each other and sharing family news. And we became a little family group there in the ICU waiting room. Well, this particular time, I was there waiting on my precious grandfather. He was just the love of my life, and my grandmother would not go home. She waited in that waiting room night and day. They had been married 60 years, and she wouldn't go home. So we were taking turns babysitting her as she waited on news for my grandfather. And that particular night that we lost my grandfather, I was there waiting, as was another young lady who was waiting on news from her father. And so her mother and my grandmother were just chit-chatting, and it was the middle of the night. And this young lady and I heard a code called in the ICU. And we knew that it was either her father or my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Oh, we just looked at each other, and we were so scared. And we went out in the hall because the older women had not heard the code, and we didn't want to scare them. And so we went out in the hall by the door of the ICU, and they were running in and out with crash carts. And the nurse yelled at us, told us to get out of the way. We were in the way, and we were just begging for news, and they wouldn't talk to us. And so we didn't want to go back in the room, so we stepped in the phone booth. And we were so close, and, you know, we were touching each other, and we were self-conscious, and the two of us, and in this phone booth where we had used so many of these quarters, and one of us looked at the other and said, let's pray. And we held each other and just fell into each other's arms, lost all our self-consciousness, and started talking to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit entered that phone booth. And he filled me up. He filled my spiritual pockets in a way that I had never in my life been filled before. And I suddenly knew that I could do whatever I needed to do. I suddenly knew what that scripture meant when it said I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I knew that I could handle whatever, and she did too. And when we walked out of that phone booth, we were new people. You know, we were already Christians, but we suddenly had this touch, this special touch from God. And I walked out, and the nurse walked toward me and gave me the news that my grandfather had gone to be with the Lord. And I had to walk around and tell my sweet grandmother the worst news of her life and call my mother and my aunt and tell them in the middle of the night and handle funeral arrangements. And I did whatever needed to do, and boy, I was no longer running on spiritual fumes. And from that moment forward, I never wanted to be running on empty again. And I developed this personal, workable, useful relationship with God, and so all of the power of the scriptures came alive. And since that time in my life, I have awakened every morning looking forward to time in the Word, time on my knees with God, asking Him to fill up my spiritual pockets. And so from that moment forward, I also learned how to talk to strangers about God. You know, I also don't want other people to be running on empty. I don't want them to be without that power in their life that it just enables them to do whatever God calls them to do.
And you would have to experience another major blow in your life.
One day my company called and they said, Cheryl, we can't afford you on our payroll anymore. And I was devastated because I was still head of the subsidiary of the company I had started. My husband worked for that company. My son worked for that company. And suddenly I did not have a job, and I had to watch my husband go off to work to the company I had started, and I didn't have a job anymore.
Wow.
And I was embarrassed. My name had been in our local newspaper every week for something because we built leading-edge technology solutions, and so it was humiliating to me. I just couldn't believe this had happened, and I just was distraught. My heart was broken. I cried for a week. I you know, people sent me flowers. It was like someone had died. Everyone understood how devastated I was. And people said, oh, you will get another job. And I thought, but will I ever get a job again where I work with my husband and my son and my sister-in-law? And, you know, I used to say that I had 80 people in my division working for me that were smarter than me. And I was just so embarrassed by the whole thing. I felt like, was I not good enough to do this anymore? And I now understand it was the market. They've gotten in trouble. The bank took over the running of their business, and it made sense that they let go of the executives of the company they bought. I understood that then intellectually, but my heart was broken. And I cried for a week, and then I remembered the power of God and that I could do all things through Christ. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do next? And his voice was just as clear. Now, understand that the reason I could hear his voice so clearly is I had never stopped getting up every morning and listening for his voice and reading my Bible, which I believe is the Word of God. And so, you know, sometimes I hear him speak and I do it and I find out, boy, that wasn't his voice. And other times I hear him speak and I obey and I realize that was. And so over the years, I've gotten pretty good at recognizing the voice of God. And he just told me, he said, Cheryl, this is your time. I want you to go on the road and do full-time what you've been doing part-time. I want you to travel the country of America. I want you to talk to people on the streets and share your testimony about me.
Wow.
Let them know that they too can have full spiritual pockets. Let them know that they can rise above that child that is just breaking their heart, or that marriage that's in trouble, or whatever they're going through, that there's something that's beyond what's going on here on earth. And so I told my husband, I was so worried because we've been best friends since we were 16 and had worked beside each other every day, and we'd never been apart for more than a week. And I went to him and I said, honey, I think God is calling me to travel at least for the next 2 months full time talking to people on the streets of America. And he said, Cheryl, God has told me to.
Mm.
I was so touched by this, and God bless the man. He got busy, and we just started preparing, and he built a website which I still use today. You know, that was our business, was websites. So all of my company, they got together and helped with this website, and they built pocketfulofquarters.com. And my mama was having a fit thinking about me, because now instead of staying in 5-star hotels on an expense account, you know, I didn't have a job anymore, so I bought a tent. And I decided I was going to stay in campgrounds, and I hadn't been in a tent since Girl Scouts. And so I always laugh. It was God's idea of a practical joke to call me from 5-star hotels to a tent. And so, but that's what we did. We went out and bought a tent. I learned to put this tent up. And, I went in the store, and I said, you need to tell me this kid was selling this tent to me. And he said, oh, it's easy, you can do it. And I said, no, you need to teach me. And by the time I finished, he said, boy, you're right, you really did need a lesson in putting up a tent. You know, when you're the executive of a company, I didn't realize how much I didn't know. I thought I was pretty smart, but I had people that did everything. I had a full-time housekeeper, and I had people that built, that worked on my computer when it broke. And so I had to learn how to cook on the road. I mean, there was just so much I had to learn how to do. And but that was what God called me to then. Blessed me. I just haven't done it. And that dark experience that was just, my heart was so broken. And I now realize that everything in that business world has prepared me for what I'm doing now. I used to speak to the city of Jacksonville and think that was important. And now I'm speaking to churches about the love of my life, Jesus. And that speaking to my community trained me for it.
Where was the first stop of your journey?
Actually, the first stop of my journey broke my heart. My cousin had cancer. He was my age in Columbus, Georgia, because he'd been put in the hospital. And I certainly didn't think he was ill. I certainly hadn't been prepared to lose him. When I got there, I realized that he was dying.
This is Erin. We will be right back with our story. Can you imagine finishing your degree and starting your dream? Imagine registering for your classes just once and having your books delivered to your doorstep. a degree program built around your work schedule with one of the fastest-growing universities in the U.S. coming to your community. Imagine taking accelerated classes that meet just once a week or online with a faculty which teach from a Christian worldview and makes you their specialty. Can you imagine a degree program that lets you successfully juggle family, career, and other life commitments? Then imagine Indiana Wesleyan University, College of Adult and Professional Studies. Indiana Wesleyan University has education centers in Cincinnati and in Dayton and offers adult students associate's, bachelor's, master's degrees in business, a bachelor completion program for registered nurses, and a master's degree in education and nursing. To learn more, call toll-free 1-866-IWU-4U so you can finish your degree and start your dream at Indiana Wesleyan University's College of Adult and Professional Studies.
And I just looked at him and I said, can I stay here and go through this with you? Because I realized then what an anointed journey that was.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in Columbus, Georgia for a week, sleeping in literally hospital rooms and on floors. And God gave me the opportunity while my cousin Douglas was dying to witness to people, to talk to people about Jesus there in these hospital rooms. And my story started in hospital. And I had a car full of blankets and pillows and food, and so all day and all night I'd be going downstairs and lending strangers pillows to sleep on the floor. And so I just had all these opportunities for this week that Douglas was dying. And I was standing by his bed when he died, and he told me, he said, Cheryl, I know you think losing that job was important. But he picked up his wife's hand, and they had been married 28 years, and he was dying much too young. And he said, love and God and Jesus and what you're doing now, that's what's important in life. That's important, that job. And he was a city councilman and a very, very successful man in his own right. And he said, none of that's important. What's important is God and your family. And, you know, that was his message. And he hated leaving his family, but he wasn't afraid of dying. And so the very beginning of my book, I talk about the experience in a chapter that said, worthy women say goodbye. And his mother and his sister and his wife and his daughter, I watched them all say goodbye to this godly man. And what a powerful thing to have this journey start so many years ago in an ICU waiting room, and then to have the first leg of my full-time call to ministry begin in a hospital.
Your journeys and your faith story is documented in this book. It's called A Pocketful of Quarters, 5 Steps to Loving God by Cheryl Touchton. You're a very, very gifted writer, and I've enjoyed this book so much. Your story begins, even in the prologue of your book, you write several journal entries that lead us to the place of discovery of God's presence. In fact, the very first week, you write, last week, I worked 70 hours, touched down in 7 airports. Where do I find the time for you, speaking to God, and my family? This could not be your will, but I see no other choice. Grabbed a hold of our heart, because we can understand the grip of busyness in our lives. And then you go on to share the 5 steps to loving God. Can you share briefly what those 5 steps are?
One of the secrets to life and to my life is understanding that Jesus really meant what he said when he said the most important commandment is to love God, and the second most important commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the Jewish people, the Hebrew word for that is the Shema. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he doesn't just stop there. He tells us how we love God. And he gives us 4 words, love God with our mind and our heart and our soul and our strength. And then he tells us to love our neighbor. And that's the secret to everything. When we have that child who is breaking our hearts or losing that job or working so hard like I was to try to save jobs in the technology industry that was just a losing battle. It was bigger than me, and I felt so responsible for all those jobs. The answer is to quit working on everything and to focus our energy back on loving God. And the first step, like our disciples, they were introduced to Jesus first with their mind. Step one is you just meet him. You read the Bible. You understand he's your Savior. You meet him with your mind. But then, when Jesus died on the cross, By this time, the disciples had fallen in love with him with their heart. The heart is the one that truly loves with our emotions, and we love Jesus with our emotions. We let him heal our broken heart so that we can give him a complete whole heart. So step two is we love him with our heart. But if you look back at the disciples, their hearts were broken when he died on the cross, and they scattered like we do, and they hid because they feared for their lives after Jesus died on the cross because their hearts were broken. But then Jesus rose from the dead. He overcame death. Just like in our lives, we can overcome. Just like God gave me power before I even got the bad news about my grandfather, I had already risen from my dead. And so the same thing happens when we meet Jesus with our soul, which is the part that will live with him for an eternity. That's the part that worships and knows him. So that's step three. We meet him with our soul. And then, oh, our strength, which is step four, love God with our strength. When we have met him with our mind, our heart, and our soul, suddenly our feet have wings on them. We can do whatever God calls on us to do. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus fed 5,000 people with little fish and loaves, and the reason he did it is he blessed it. Well, our time is the same way. Mm. It's finite, but Jesus blesses it, and all of a sudden, we can do anything we need to do. And
yes.
So we love God with our strength. Well, if you think about the disciples, once they met Jesus with their soul after he rose from the dead, and that's what's so powerful about Jesus is he overcame death, just like we can overcome the deaths in our lives. Then we love him with our strength, and we want to go out and serve the world. It's not that we're making ourselves do it. All of a sudden, our neighbors are as important to us as ourselves. It's why I feel so driven to the streets of America. I can't help but love them. And people ask me, don't you get tired when you travel? Well, yes, I travel all day, and I write till late in the night, and then I get up early the next morning, and I'm camping. I have enough strength to do that because I care so much about the people around me. And it's not that I am such a loving, caring person. It's that I have fallen so deeply in love with God that that love that he gives me back spills over to the rest of the world. And it happens without me having to do anything. So step one, our mind. Step two, our heart. Step three, our soul. Step four, our strength. And finally, the blessing of step five of loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves.
We are talking to Cheryl Touchton, who is the author of Pocketful of Quarters, 5 Steps to Loving God, as well as her new book, Pocketful of Christmas, Having a Purpose-Filled Advent. But I know that you talk to a lot of people who shared excuses for following God, following Christ as Lord. And I know as I was reading through these excuses, I think I mentioned all of them at least 3 or 4 times as I was growing up and refused to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. But one of the excuses that you say some people give to you is that God is for people who need a crutch. What is your response to that?
Well, you know, I hear that a lot. I hear people need a crutch. And I prefer to think of it as wings. And so, you know, Jesus made the lame walk. And so what I tell them is that having a close relationship with God allows you to throw down your crutches, to walk, to leap, and to fly. I mean, you know, angels' wings. So, you know, the Bible talks about on eagle's wings, and that's literally how I feel. I'm on the wings of eagles, and I can soar and do anything.
So many people say, well, I've been raised in the church, but I no longer go. There is a lot of people who feel like they've been damaged by church and church people. What is your response to that?
Oh, I meet so many people that have been damaged by the church, and the first thing I do is I love the church myself, but I listen to their story without getting defensive on behalf of the church because they're not imagining they've been damaged. They really have been damaged. The church has made a lot of mistakes. And so I listen to them completely, and then I apologize on behalf of the bride of Christ because the church did let them down. And when they have completely talked and they tell me and they know they've been heard, and then I apologize on behalf of the church, I asked them, I said, can I tell you my experience with the church? And I do think it's important to find a good church that loves God and teaches us to love God completely and love our neighbor as ourselves, because most churches are just doing the best they can. And if you were Satan, who would you attack but the church? And so the church is under constant attack. And so then I asked them if I can tell them about church. And I beg them not to give up on church, because while the church isn't perfect, it is the closest we can get to the kingdom of God while we're here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hate to see people throw out the baby with the bathwater. I talk to them about forgiveness and the importance of forgiving the church. And I also remind people, when they're not taking their children to church, what they're deciding probably is that their grandchildren won't go either. And that's a scary thought, to think what you're doing for future generations. And I just love the church so much. I'm so sorry people have been damaged by it. And when I speak in churches, I beg them to realize that they're not just damaging the people, they're damaging their children and their grandchildren when they make the mistakes they make. And so I think it's important for churches to realize the responsibilities they carry to the people in their body.
I love what you just said, and I'm so glad that you're able to give comfort to those who have been damaged. Thank you so much. Cheryl Tushton, the author of Pocketful of Quarters and her second book, Pocketful of Christmas. Where can someone order your books?
Anywhere you can order books, Amazon.com. You know, I'd love for you to go to my website, pocketfulofquarters.com, and that's pocketful with two L's. There's two ways to spell that. You can buy it at the regular bookstores or Christian bookstores. And if they don't have it, they can order it.
And pocketfulofchange.org. Check it out and just read about her journeys of life. I mean, you could just sit there for hours and be truly entertained, and you can be inspired, and I certainly have. Cheryl, we conclude every single program with a scripture medley, which really points the way to the Word of God, because God's Word is truth and is so healing. And because we began your program with so many things in your life that were invading your life, the circumstances at work and oftentimes busy schedules, it wasn't until that you were able to be still in the presence of God, where God was able to say, be still and know that I am God. And so I would like to conclude our program with a scripture medley from our CD called Be Still, and it's the third track dedicated to you, Cheryl. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Be still and rest your thoughts. The Lord says, be still and know that I am God.
Thank you for joining us today on Water Through the Word. You have just heard a portion of a scripture medley from Aaron Campbell's devotional CD entitled, Who Am I in Christ? Our prayer is that today's story and scripture medley was an encouragement for you. Water Through the Word is a listener-supported program. Please give generously so that we can continue to bring you quality Christian program with real-life testimonies. If you would like a copy of today's interview in its entirety, or if you are interested in a scripture medley devotional CD, then call us at 1-800-274-8951 or visit us on our website at waterthroughtheword.com. Our producer and engineer is Jim Bowen, and I am Matt Campbell. Join us again for more encouraging stories of faith on Water Through the Word. God bless.
Special thanks to Indiana Wesleyan University College of Adult and Professional Studies for underwriting this week's program. Finish your degree and start your dream with Indiana Wesleyan University's College of Adult and Professional Studies, with education centers in Dayton and Cincinnati.